God bless you. Please be seated and pick your Bible. Amen. See, the bride of Jesus Christ has her language. Listen, the bride of Jesus Christ, we have our language. Hallelujah. And our language is a language of revelation. Amen. The Spirit and the bride say, we are united. We are united. So, listen, I have an advice for you. If you are going to understand an end time message preacher, you must study the Bible. Because in the course of our discussion, you will hear maybe a preacher will come one day and tell you, you know, the seventh seal is fulfilled before the sixth seal. And Revelation chapter this is before this, and this one, and the beast, and he's talking revelatory language, and then you're going to say, what in this man they talk? But what he's saying is in the Bible. I am an end time message preacher. Not end time preacher. We have end time preachers. There are these motivational speakers and these babalawos that have changed their signboard to prophets. But there is a message to the bride of Christ in this age. And there are preachers that are preaching that message. And I am one of them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That's why what God has done is to open our eyes of understanding. He is the encoder of the mystery of salvation. And he's the only decoder of that mystery. Salvation is an agenda. I keep saying this so that you will know what is this message? What is this message? What is this he's talking about? Why are we speaking different? Listen, salvation is an agenda. From item 1 to item 2 to item 3 to item 4. When Apostle Paul says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, he said Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. He's giving a picture of a building that is taking place. And Ephesians chapter 4, he called it the building of God, a building for the habitation of God. We are a spiritual temple. It's presented in several ways. If Jesus is the chief cornerstone, it means there will be time where you will bend left and bend right and bend left and bend right for the structure to take place. And if he is the one that is the cornerstone, hallelujah, he's the only one that will give the revelation. Apostle Paul told Timothy, study. And it's not only Timothy, but all of us, especially Radok, we the ministers, to show yourself approved unto God. A workman, we the ministers, that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We should stand confidently and look at this Bible in this end time and say, this is what this means. Not only the pastor, every member of the bride of Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, worldwide. When he came in through this ministry of William Branham, which has been messed up almost beyond repair, by the devil who planted carnal people. What God did was he opened, he released the spirit of revelation. He took our eyes away from the denominations and the denominational creeds and doctrines to bring us, align us back to the scripture. That is what the end time message has come to achieve. We are the only ones that will not run after gifts. We are not downplaying gifts. We don't run after gifts. The gifts are automatically among us. The gifts are among us. These signs shall follow them that believe. This emphasis will be emphasized some other time, because it pains me to see how the devil has been able to achieve this, to turn Christians to be what we are today. Running after men of God. Running, running. Anybody that has one small anointing, people run after them. But nobody runs after people who are teaching the word of salvation. People will run. Now, you will see. Amen. If we are not preparing for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I don't know any ministry in Nigeria that I know that has taken the topic of the baptism of the Holy Ghost as serious as we are taking it here. And people may just think it is just a program. It's just a program. It's not just a program. It's the highest program any church can have, because it is the highest program of God himself. Big pastors, big ministries. They tell the people to come for empowerment, for impartation. They come for impartation. Take it, tower. What the Holy Ghost is, how many of them know who he is? If they ever know who he is and they teach it, the body of Christ will be better than what it is today. I'm telling you, that is the truth. Well, we have a responsibility, especially this ministry, that God has given us a platform to be heard through the television and through the internet. So all over the world, we are even connected now. Listen very well. We are looking at the introduction of Jesus Christ by John the Baptist. And we want to look at it to sound a warning in Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11 and verse 12. John the Baptist says, I indeed baptize you, you Jews, with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. I am not worthy to bear. Hallelujah. He, listen to that statement very well. If you are hearing it for the first time, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. He shall baptize you, it's a prophecy, with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And rightly dividing the word of truth. That's all I've been trying to bring out. And see what will happen in verse 12. He said his fan, whose fan is in his hand. Fan that blow wind, blow chaff, blow separation. Separation is his hand. And he will thoroughly purge his floor, clean up his floor, and gather his wheat into the garner. But he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So, he has unquenchable fire And he has his Ghana, his barn. And that is his dwelling place. And that is his storehouse. And that is where he keeps the wheat. That is where we shall be too. So we have heaven that we shall go through the rapture. And there's a lake of fire that the chaff will be put in there. And this authority is given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Two things, and this will be done in two different periods according to his agenda. And he said his fan is in his hand and he will purge. He will purge. And in my earlier teachings on this, I told you the process of separation through the reapers. In Matthew chapter 13, you read it from verse 24, the parable of the wheat and tares, it is through the reapers to bind into groups. And these reapers are ministers that we gather. It's not gathering in the world, though. His flock. He called it his flock. His flock is his church. Until you catch this revelation, you will think that everybody that is calling Jesus is a Christian. Not all Christians are of Christ. Not all pastors are ordained to gather people to go to heaven. Every pastor is from God to gather a group. Either the group to go to heaven, or he's gathering a group that he himself will lead to hell. Because every pastor will gather his group that he will lead to where they are ordained to be. Those his ministers that are ordained to go to heaven, they will be speaking heavenly things. They will be speaking about going to heaven and gather the people that will be going to heaven. Their messages are heaven-centered. Their sermons are heaven-centered. And the ministers that are ordained to take people to hell, their messages are earthly, earth-centered. Catch it so that you don't think and for you to effectively do this job, he anointed us. The anointing is to cause the attraction for that your group to listen to you. Who is a false preacher? He is a preacher, but what he's saying is false. Who is a true preacher? He is a preacher, but what he's saying is true. And what is the basis of judgment? It's the Bible. Anything contrary to this Bible is false. When you come to this church, you are before a minister that he himself wants to go to heaven. This heaven, I must go. I gathered my children in the house a few days ago. How many of them? I said, listen to me. This heaven, I must go. Can you say the same thing? Every one of them said it. This heaven, I must go. This heaven, I must go. Then I say, hell, I will not go. Can you also say it? All of them say, hell, they will not go. Now, I had to tell them, I say, there is a life to live if you will go to heaven. And there is a life to live if you will go to hell. It is not what you say, it is what you do. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So this period in this ministry, we are focusing on what my ministry is. My ministry is not healing. My ministry is not deliverance. My ministry is to take you to heaven. How many people want to go? Me, I must go to heaven. I don't know about you. Me, this heaven, I must go there. I must go there. Praise the Lord. And the mystery of this spiritual, this kingdom, is so deep, hallelujah, that it's very easy to confuse people. That's why we stress anytime I hold the microphone to preach like this, I will stress something. People don't know why I'm stressing some things. It's to make call your attention to something that you need to think over. The mystery is too deep. Too deep. That God will genuinely give somebody an anointing, and yet the person will not go to heaven. His name is not in the book of life. And he himself said, not everyone that say, Lord, Lord, will go into the kingdom. Now, listen. So that you'll understand why Apostle Paul said something. He said, examine yourself if you be in the faith. Examine yourself if you be in the faith. Then he said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. You need to understand why he was saying that. In Acts chapter 19, he saw some believers coming. He met them on the way. Number one, they were believers. Whatever it is, there was something that made him know that they are believers. But he asked a question. And Apostle Paul will not ask a question carelessly. He looked at them. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Why will he ask them that? He saw something. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? If you're a believer here, can I see your hand up? Okay, so put that. Wait. If you're an unbeliever, put up your hand. Why are you not responding now? If you're a believer, put up your hand. Maybe in your heart, you are saying, if I don't believe, why I come to church? Unbelievers, they go to church. Then they go to church. Unbelievers, they go to church. Then they go to church. Now, ask your neighbor, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? You know what I ask? Brother Jesus, ask him. Ask another person, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Answer them now. Answer your neighbor now. He asks you a question. Praise the Lord. If you don't know the Holy Ghost, how will you know you have received him? If you don't know the evidence of the Holy Ghost, what will you use to judge whether you have or not? But I see vision. That's how I know that I've received the Holy Ghost. That day, I fall down, waka. I shake, fire all over me. Shake. That day, 2015, that Holy Ghost program that we had, as the pastor said, receive the Holy Ghost. I fall down, and fire all over me. Oh, that is wonderful. Then, but be sincere with yourself. After that, you see they commit fornication. Even sometimes, on top of that fire, you sleep with your boyfriend. And immediately you finish sleeping with him, vision go break forth. You go see message for pastor and correct message. Even for the man who sleep with you, you go see vision for him and correct. After you don't bath, finish. Even before you bath yourself, fiam. The anointing that took place there will ignite and fiam. And you will not see the vision of the sin you have committed, though. You will see the vision of which way one pursue. Then the two of you, Holy Ghost fire, any fire, then you will fall down again. Thus said the Lord, my son, I have answered you. It's a mystery. It's happening. It's happening. Praise the Lord. It's happening. There are prophets that go for program and then in a hotel, their girlfriend is there. They sleep with the girl. They stand up and go for program. And power will flow. Power. And then when you finish, you come and cool down again with her in the hotel. It's a mystery. keep diligence to make your calling and election sure. So did you receive the Holy Ghost? I think say the Holy Ghost I receive. Not be Holy Ghost you receive. If the Holy Ghost you receive, it's no Holy Ghost, oh, but you receive a ghost. Praise God. So you should be able to know when a wrong spirit enter you. And this is what we want to achieve during this period. Praise the Lord. Now, what I'm saying is this. Why we are, there is a reason why I am busy doing everything, teaching you. It's my responsibility to do that by virtue of my call. But it's not just call. I am never going to go to heaven because I'm a pastor. I am never. I am not a preacher. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Because I am going to heaven. There are preachers that will never go to heaven. But listen, church. I am a preacher. See, when I gave my life to Christ, 2 weeks after I started preaching, somebody stopped me and said, "Brother, you just received Christ. What did they preach?" I said, "How can you say what did they preach? I have had an experience. That is what I'm sharing with people. That is what makes me a preacher." He said, "Ye shall receive what? Power." After what happens? After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, then something will happen. What will happen? What will happen? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Quickly. You don't understand what I'm talking about. And something will happen. It's that thing I want to emphasize. Acts chapter 1. Listen. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." After that, what will happen? "And ye shall be witnesses unto me." That is my emphasis. A preacher is a witness. And there are false witnesses and there are true witnesses. And I am a witness of conversion. I am a witness of conversion. Of what can happen to a man or a woman if the Holy Ghost comes upon you. If the Holy Ghost, the Bible says, if a man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And you are in Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You are a new creature. And I should not stand here. See, I am a true witness. I went to Abuja and as I was preaching, I was telling them, "You are expecting me to be telling you about William Branham, what happened in the ministry of William Branham. William Branham said, William Branham did, William Branham said, William Branham said." I said, "William Branham said, William Branham do." That is his own witness. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If I have experienced what William Branham have experienced, I'll be talking about my own, not William Branham's own. Is it possible for a young man, I say, to live in this age without committing fornication? Is not possible. But with God, all things are possible. Oh, glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The rich young ruler came. "What must I do to have eternal life?" And he was standing before eternal life giver. He was standing before the tree of life. "Go and do this. Throw all your wealth away. And come and follow me." The man said, "If you say I should stop sin, committing this one, I won't pay my tithe, do everything regularly. But to sell everything I have, where I labor for all these years, to come and follow you. This is all too much. This, which kind of gospel be this?" And Jesus Christ said, "It is easier for the camel to pass through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Then he said, nevertheless, with man it is impossible, but with God nothing shall be impossible. What Jesus is saying is that man that is holding so much into his wealth, his heart is so much into his wealth, let him jam with God. Let him have an experience with God. You will soon discover that all these riches will mean nothing to him. Do we have anybody even in this age to confirm this? I have my brother, Cosmos Maduka. Hallelujah. I have him in this age for a testimony. Praise the Lord. And he's not a preacher, so you won't say he's living on tithes and offerings. He is a businessman like you. He's a businessman like you. And God has reserved him to judge all of you businessmen and women who are going to church. And yet, your money has taken the better part of your heart away from God. And listen very well. With God, all things are possible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. When I speak to you, I am speaking as a true witness. I have experienced the power of conversion. I've experienced the power of conversion. And you young girls, don't listen to anybody, any minister in this church or formerly in this church that has left, that will tell you when you want to sleep with you, all of us do it. Even Pastor Moses does it. It's a lie. I don't do it. I don't do it, though. I don't do it. Praise the Lord. He's trying to use me to justify his evil. It's a shame for somebody to be a preacher and him himself is living contrary to the word. You are a devil. You are not qualified to be at the altar. And I am telling you now, I say, by God's grace, I am the evidence of grace. I know one pastor in our midst also who is also evidence of grace. What is the evidence of grace? Somebody will see you who knows your past and will look at you and say, you mean you? You don't follow a drink again? You? You don't follow a chase woman again? You? Then, when you begin to see people talking like that, it means you are not having evidence. There is one pastor that one occasion, some people came and saw him here in this church and say, you, and call the name they used to call him in Fela Shrine. Jimoni. Jimoni. They say you be pastor. You, I said a lie, make a call confirm. So then you be pastor now. Jimoni. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I told his wife, if you know who your husband be before, you for no nearer. But I thank God. Praise the Lord. I thank God. If that is your testimony, also clap your hand for Jesus. Give him glory. Give him glory. Hallelujah. Now, not just the joy of salvation, but I want to warn you that if you don't take advantage of the offer, he said, life is offered unto you. Hallelujah. It is only that you look and live. Life is offered now because this is the acceptable year. This is the day of redemption. This is the time now where people can still be saved. That is one part that he baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Some of you don't know, hallelujah, that God is in an agenda to clean up the whole earth and bring it back to what he intended it to be in the Garden of Eden before Satan messed it up. And he's taking his time through his foreknowledge, looking at every one of us that he has put in our names in the book of life until the last one comes. We are the ones known as the elect. That's why he said, make your calling an election. We are the ones he has called by election through foreknowledge. After he has finished gathering us, all the rest, he will sweep them out of this earth with fire. Rearrange this earth and put his own, we, back here and cause us to continually eat from the tree of life. Praise the Lord. And live eternally, eternally, like the angels. No more death. We are landlords ourselves, so we don't need to pay rent. No sickness, no virus, no hustling for anything. We will only be eating angelic food. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. No more hunger there. You don't need to labor for anything because you will not need to buy a car. Hallelujah. You will not need to build any house. You don't need to wear expensive clothing. For we shall be like angels. The type of clothes we wear, they are not clothes that we change. They don't change color. Hallelujah. There is no competition there. We will dress the same. So there is nothing like poor man and poor woman. We are prince and princesses. We shall be called the sons and daughters of the living God. We shall be his queen, sitting at the palace. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. A position he has given us, but he has released us to face all the temptations, to prove to Satan, these ones, I have purchased them. I have given them a power that no matter what you do, they will never listen to you. And that power is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Blessed be the name of the Lord. As many as receive him, to them gave he what? Power to do what? To become the sons of God. And the power that makes you a son of God is the power that transforms a sinner to a saint. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And the offer is on now. That is what we are preaching. It is called the good news. It is called the gospel. For God so loved the world. And when he said God so loved the world, you and I are the people he's referring to. Because he knows who will receive him and who will not receive him. That he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believe in him, believe in him, should not perish. That means there is a perishing coming up ahead. And that perishing that is coming ahead is the lake of fire. That will burn, destroy people. I sometimes wonder, we are unbelievers that died 1,000 years ago. Where are they now? Where are these unbelievers now? I sometimes imagine how they are feeling wherever they are now. What they are going through wherever they are now. And while I was thinking, hallelujah, while I was thinking of where are those 1,000 years ago who believed. They believed so they were ready to die for the gospel. They submitted themselves. They persecuted them. I was trying to think, where will they be? In what estate will they be now? And I saw them in Revelation chapter 7. Let's read it. And I saw them in Revelation chapter 7. I'm emphasizing something so that when we read some scriptures now, you'll get the impact. I saw them from verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, including Saudi Arabia, including China and Russia. He said all is all nations. And kindreds, every tribe. And people and tongues. He said they stood before the throne and before the Lamb. Oh, glory be to God. Clothed with white robes. in their hands and cried with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation to our God, who is seated upon the throne and unto the Lamb." And then you read on and on and on. Verse 13. "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? Who are these people? Multitude that we can't even number. There must be millions. Who are they that are arrayed in white robes? And where did they come from? Where are they from?" The answer is in verse 14. "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation." The tribulation there is trials. It's not the last 3.5 years great tribulation that the Jews will go through by the Antichrist. He's talking about all the ages, the sufferings that believers suffered in all the 7 church ages. He's talking about them. "These are they which came out of great tribulation." That's why in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3, the message to every church age, you will hear him talk about the overcomers. Every age, there were overcomers. "He that overcometh, I will do this." He that overcometh, every age, the message to every age, "He that overcometh, I will do this. He that overcometh, I will do this. He that overcometh." There is something to overcome. And these are the overcomers we see here. He said, "These are they which come up out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God." You see where they are? "And serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them." You see? "They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. In the city where the Lamb is the light, the city where they are coming, no night." No night there. "I have a mansion over there, I went free from toil and care. I am going where the Lamb is the Lamb." That's the revelation the songwriter had, and he had to offer. "Come to the Savior, make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. Yeah, he now is standing today. Oh yes, even now he's saying it. Come. We have a hope. It's a hope of joy.
Joyful, joyful will the meeting be.
Oh,
when from sea out of your
heart. Oh, yeah. Pure, free.
And we shall gather.
Hey.
Savior with me.
Hey.
In our exile.
Joyful, joyful. Joyful.
That's our hope.
It's not my hope. I'm going somewhere. That's my hope. Oh yes.
in the glory land. Over in the glory land.
Over in the glory land.
We live eternally. Yes. On every heart. I shout him. I will see him. He said, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither is it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love his appearing. Hey, Jesus. When Paul says so, he has seen something. He said he knows a man that was caught up to the third heavens. What he saw, he can't say it. I also know a man that was caught up on the last day, and he saw what is awaiting those who will not go with Christ. Every make believer, you know there is a make believer. Make believer, you are hypocrite Christians. I will see Jesus. Every human being will see Jesus. Every human being will see Jesus. He is the one that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And he's the one that will baptize you with fire. The Father judgeth no man, but he has committed all judgment to the Son. For we all shall appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Every man will give account of himself. I will see Jesus. When you will see Jesus, you either see him in Revelation chapter 20, in the white throne judgment, or you will see him when he will shout, Moses, look, come up hither. I will be with him in the air for the rapture. Or, in Revelation 20, where he will say, enter the lake of fire. Now Jesus, and everyone will see him. I will see Jesus. So, you understand the song now? You understand the song now? I will see Jesus. And everybody knows where you will see him. Everybody knows where you see him. Because the songwriter says, I know who I am. I know what who I am, who God says I am. I am who I am. I am who God says I am. I know I'm a fornicator. I know who I am. I know I'm not a drunkard. I know who I am. Everyone that you know who you are, you will give account of who you are before him, Jesus. Everyone.
Walking in power, walking in miracles.
Wait!
Wait!
Wait! Wait! You are walking in miracle. You are walking in favor. Yet you know who you are, Abby? It's the Quran song. You are enjoying the blessings of God, Abby.
You are enjoying it. Yet you know who you are. You are praying in the name of Jesus, Abi. And he's answering you. Yet you know who you are. You know that there are people that go to church and they belong to occult.
Take a look at me, I'm a wonder.
Take a look where we. It's a wonder. Take a look where we.
It is glory. I know.
Wait. Did you hear? Did you hear her? The songwriter said, take a look at me. I am a wonder. You are a wonder now. You are a wonder. Serious wonder. You are going to church and you are fornicating. You are a wonder. Serious wonder. You are going to church, you still gossip. You are a wonder. You are a preacher performing miracle signs and wonder. And you are an adulterer. You are an adulteress. You are a wonder. You are a wonder. And take a look. Take a look again. Take a look at me. I am a wonder.
Take a look at me. I'm a wonder.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter what you see now.
Uh-huh.
Cause in his glory, I know who I am.
It does do. And you are claiming you are walking in victory. I'm walking in victory, Abby.
I'm walking in power.
Walking
miracles.
I
live a life of favor.
Uh-huh.
I know.
Everybody sing that song now. Sing it.
Power.
I'm singing. Hey, sing it.
Walking miracles.
Uh-huh.
I live a life of favor.
Uh-huh.
I know who I am.
Take a look at me, I'm a wonder.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't matter what I see now. Cause it is glory. I know who I am. Take a look at me, I'm a wonder. It doesn't matter what you see now. Cause it is glory. I know who I am.
Wait. That song ends with oh, oh, oh,
oh, oh. I know who I am.
For heaven. Praise the Lord. Anybody that come to this church at the end of, you say you are reached 1 month, you will know whether you are going to heaven or you are going to hell. You have come here to receive tickets to go to hell or to go to heaven. We have shown you the way. That we are passed from religion to Christianity. Don't go to church so that people will say you are a Christian. Don't go to carry Bible so that people will say, go and preach so that people will say you are a Christian. The life that you live, you yourself, you can testify. Whether you are a heaven candidate or not. Stop unnecessarily arguments. You are battling with yourself, trying to justify yourself. I know people who search the scripture to understand grace. They are searching the scripture to understand grace. To see whether that bad thing they are doing, there is a way they can justify it from scripture so that they can continue in their evil. Sin is sin. And shall you continue in sin, that grace will abound? What did he say? God forbid. I'm trying to tell you now to see reason to escape before it is too late. The door of salvation will close. After that, there is a day of the Lord. They were choking him, spitting on him, beating him. Heavy cross they put on him, despising him. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. He was not showing love. He knows what will happen to them for rejecting him. But they don't know what will happen to them for rejecting him. That's why he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they are doing. Did the Father forgive them? If you know what will happen if you don't make the rapture, if you know what will happen to you if you don't make the rapture, you will do everything to have what will make you go in the rapture. You are playing with your life. It's because you don't know that the mercy of God has a limit. It's not forever. And that is what I feel duty bound to inform you, so that when the thing comes on you, then you will now remember that there is a man of God that preached it, Pastor Moses. You had it. And it's being recorded now. And they continue to play these things on the television. And it's there in the YouTube. And it's there in our tape archives, in our website. It's there in our Facebook. It's there everywhere, so that you will see it. Many are coming across us and they are converting. And many are coming here and still remaining in their evil. But I'm telling you, you are joking with your life because you don't know what you are doing. Let's open 2 Peter chapter 2. Chapter 3. Now in 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter brought it out. From verse 1. Now we're going to do some reading. This second episode, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Okay. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old. It's by his word. He spoke, and let there be by his word. And the earth also standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished by the word of God. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store. Reserved for what? Reserved unto fire. That is the end of this earth. It's fire. Against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. That is the next thing that God is waiting to clean up this earth. Verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing. Don't be ignorant of this. That one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. 2,000 years, he went to the cross on Calvary. We are counting 2,000 years. And God is saying, now only yesterday he died. Okay, now. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack. Apostle Peter is warning us concerning his promise. As some men count slackness, but is long suffering to us world, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the wish of God. But, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That is when people are not expecting it. In the which the heavens shall pass away. The heavens here is talking about the sky. Talking of this sky you are looking at and all the things that are hanging there. It will pass away with great noise. And the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The elements, everything that is hanging there, we melt with fervent heat. The earth also that we are living in now, and the works that are therein, all the fine buildings, all the skyscrapers, all the whatever you call them, mansions that you see, shall be burnt up. They shall be burnt up. So there is the day of the Lord. That is why we try by all means. Knowing this, Apostle Paul said, knowing this, we persuade men. The day of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.